As we turn to God's word, let's pray. Father, as we look at your word, just seal the truths of it on our hearts. Seal all Jesus did for us, so that we'll remember it in each and every circumstance. We ask this in his name. Amen. Darren Campbell was a British-ish sprinter. He won Olympic gold in the relay, individual silver in the 200 metres. But he has always remembered his roots. He grew up in one of the toughest, roughest areas of Sale. When winning junior golds at the Europeans, he was also a member of a gang, and along with his friends, hatched a crazy plan to rob a pub. But thinking it was crazy, he ended up remembering, praying to God for a sign, and shortly afterwards got a puncture on his bike that stopped them going through with their plan. He always remembers that night as a turning point and has written the book called Track Record because he never forgot his roots. Despite moving away from the gangs to avoid being killed, as there was a hit out on him, he moved away. And he wants to show that anything is possible, as he remembers what changed his life. Well, Peter is writing to remind the people that Jesus has made their salvation possible. That they should always remember it, as coming to know him is their turning point, making possible their entry into God's kingdom. It's greater than any salvation from gangs or anything. It's a salvation from death, from the penalty for sin. Peter's close to death, but while he's still living, he wants to remind them of all that Jesus has achieved. Verse 12, he says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have." Verse 13, "I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." Verse 15, "And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." Peter wants them to remember. He's clear that while he's living, they should remember these things. He's not saying they don't know them. He's not saying he's telling them something new, that it's some new fad or something. He's saying they do know them, that they're firmly established in them, but he still keeps reminding them. Because they're important. They're the key to having a faith. Therefore, it's worth reminding them, reminding us again and again, about the cross, about the resurrection, and about the new life it brings, that out of God's mercy, we can know him. Back in verse 9, Peter said that anyone that does not have the qualities of a Christian, anyone who's not growing in godliness, in the divine nature, is short-sighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. The people referred to here forget they've been cleansed of sin, have forgotten God's mercy shown through Jesus on the cross. That means all the times we forget God and go our own way are forgiven because the punishment falls on our Lord and King. And some people have forgotten that and are at risk of rejecting the salvation it brings. So Peter's response to this is reminding his hearers, the Christians, of this. He's simply reminding them of the salvation they've received in Jesus, the cleansing of sins. He's not telling them anything new, but he's telling them what's important. That we're cleansed of our sins, that we have relationship with God. And what he comes on to focus is on the new life that Jesus brings. Throughout this area of the letter, it's remember, remember, remember. There are actually heretics around that Peter's writing against. I'm just saying, these are the truths of the gospel. Hold to them. He's bringing the people reading or hearing his letter back to the basics of the gospel, the good news. Firstly, the cleansing of sin, then the resurrection. It seems fitting that children's songs express such truths well. This is the gospel that we heard earlier, expresses it particularly well, saying, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. That is where Peter is taking us. And he does not do it as hearsay or as an invented story. He does it as an eyewitness. Now, the Chinese doctor who first drew the world's attention to COVID was forced to sign a so-called confession, saying it was an invented story under pressure from the local police. They wanted him to deny the virus's existence. However, it was no invented story, and he knew this because he was an eyewitness to the damage that it was doing. Eventually, he died of it. And Peter here is an eyewitness to Jesus and so knows it's not some invented story because he was there when Jesus brought salvation. In verse 16, it reads, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter saw it not just in the resurrection, but he was also there at the transfiguration. And clearly refers to that here. He refers to the time that Elijah and Moses turned up with Jesus. Verse 17, he says, for he received honor and glory from God the Father, when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Here, Peter refers to two instances where God testified about Jesus, saying exactly this. This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. The first is Jesus' baptism. Peter would have heard of it as the next day his brother introduced him to Jesus. However, the second occasion, Peter didn't just hear about. He witnessed it, as he says in the next verse. at the Transfiguration on the Mount. Moses and Elijah turned up, and Peter, seeing dead people turning up, not knowing what to say, wanting to do something, suggested putting up shelters for all three. And then God's voice came. We find the full version in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 17, where it says, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And while it took Jesus dying and coming back to life for what Jesus said to really sink in, Peter's trying to pass on all that Jesus has told him, and in particular give the hearers confidence that Jesus was sent by God to cleanse us of our sins, that they should be looking forward to his return, the coming kingdom, in which, if they remember Jesus and all he's done for them now, they'll respond by growing in godliness and be certain of a rich welcome. And it's not just the hearers. The same's true of us, if we remember Jesus. So the question for us, how do we remember Jesus and the mercy and grace that he brings? And how does it affect our lives? How does remembering the mercy God shows us in Jesus shape our words and actions? How do we show mercy to others around us because of Jesus? The more we remember Jesus, the more his grace and mercy will shape our lives, and the more certain we are of a rich welcome into his kingdom. We have Jesus, so we should remember with gratitude all he brings. And that's where Peter goes. In verse 19, it reads, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Now, what we give attention to shapes our lives. You'd think the Royal Bank of Australia, when preparing banknotes, would give attention to spelling, that they could spell responsibility. Well, on 46 million $50 notes, they misspelt it. They did not pay attention and have to live with the shame. They can't save their reputation. Let's be honest, that's gone. They're a central bank that does not check its work before printing it for all to see. But as Christians, what are we to pay attention to? Well, Peter calls us to give attention to the word of the prophets. As Jesus makes the words more certain. Elsewhere in Luke, Jesus said, "The scriptures speak about him." And he was clearly referring to the Old Testament. As the Gospels and letters that make up the New Testament weren't in existence. And here, Peter's saying that Jesus' coming confirms the word of the prophets. So the words are predicting his coming. The scriptures pointing to his coming, and that he confirms, deserve attention, as they point to a hope of salvation that Jesus has brought. That's why we spend time, Old Testament as well as New. They both point to Jesus and to the light of the new kingdom that Jesus' return will bring. Even at the start of the service, we heard the words from Jeremiah 31, looking forward to this new kingdom. Peter's not saying that we should expect our situation now to be easy. In fact, he describes the scriptures as light shining in a dark place. He knows the world can be tough. The world can be a hard place, but following Christ is not easy. At this time, he's expecting death. And according to the stories passed down by the early church, he died hung upside down on the cross, as he did not consider himself worthy to be the right way up, like his Lord was. But Peter here is saying, give attention to the scriptures. He encourages us to live for Jesus' return through any current troubles or difficulties, that we look for the dawn of a new kingdom. And he emphasizes what he's saying by reference to the day dawning, saying, as a morning star rising in our hearts. The morning star was a reference used in the Old Testament looking forward to a Saviour coming. It was particularly used by Balaam. Now, Balaam was an oracle saved from an angel sword by his donkey. But this led to Balaam, who was not an Israelite, who did not worship the Israelite God, to speak the words of the Lord and predict Jesus' coming. This includes in Numbers 24, a star will come out of Jacob, leading to the crushing of Israel's enemies, but Israel growing strong. And what Peter wants is for the hearers to pay attention to scripture, not so that they know each and every line of what it says. Yes, knowing scripture can be very helpful, but in and of itself, it does nothing. He wants them to pay attention to scripture because it speaks of Jesus' coming, his cleansing of our sin, that provides hope for us now and looks forward to his return, so that we will follow him, so that we'll be true to him, that we'll remember him, that we'll look for the dawn of a new kingdom belonging to him. That's the hope that should drive our lives. That's the reason for reading scripture, because it speaks of it. And Peter goes on to say why we can trust scripture. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Scripture, and especially the prophecy in it, comes from God. As men looked forward to the future, they were carried along by the Spirit. Peter's not saying that all prophecy is true. There are times when people claim to be prophets now. Some churches have prophecy sessions. But often we can find man-made prophecies, predictions, perhaps similar to football predictions that I know some people do. And while you may have good weeks, they're very much predictions and not prophecies, because there are also bad weeks if you do it. Our interpretation of what may happen. And rarely do we find God speaking into the future, saying, this is what will happen. But the prophecies that made their way into scripture are not men speaking alone, but men carried by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit who dwells in us and comes from God carried them. That's why they speak of Jesus. That's why they look forward to his coming and his return. They predict and speak of him dying for our sin, but coming back to new life that we share with him. The scriptures are given to us by God to enable us to get to know him, to see light in our darkest hours and hold to God, both in those, but also when we're doing well. That is what they're here for. To help us to get to know God and to remind us of all that he's done for us in Jesus. So the real question for us from this is, how do we remember God? Balaam, the oracle I mentioned earlier, that spoke under strict conditions imposed by God, and therefore, despite being paid by the Israelites' enemies, had to bless the Israelites and effectively curse the enemies. He saw some of his blessings come true as Israel defeated the Moabites and Midianites, but he ended up forgetting about God's mercy towards him and teaching Israel's enemies to seduce the Israelites, get them to worship idols. He was later killed by the Israelites, having forgotten God's mercy, having forgotten his donkey speaking, having forgotten the angel turning up. So how, if Balaam could forget, as he was ungodly, can we remember? Because we need to make sure we remember. When temptation strikes, we need to remember Jesus. When we face problems that may seem huge to us, we need to remember our God that's far bigger than the problems and the salvation he provides in Jesus that nothing in this world can take away. Well, to do this, we should be prioritizing reading scripture, gathering with God's people to hear his word, and therefore giving it the attention that it deserves. Because God's speaking to us and providing us with salvation and entry into his kingdom is far greater and more important than anything in this world. So, let's pray. Father, help us to remember all that Jesus brings, the mercy, the grace that he brings, that we're cleansed of our sins. Seal those truths on our hearts by your Spirit, so that we'd remember you, not just in church, but when we face difficulties, when good things happen, when temptation strikes, we'd remember you. And be true to your kingdom. Jesus' name, Amen.